Good morning.
Good to see you here in the house of the Lord, here in person and also online on a beautiful day. Once again, the Lord has blessed us with, as His mercies remain fresh and new today also. Change. Some people despise change, while others embrace it. Some changes are not for the better, while other changes are long overdue and necessary. One change that we all ought to be grateful for has taken place in us. It is a change that has to do with repentance. It's a change that involves a relationship with God, a cleansing of the soul, a change in our living pattern. This change is our focus this morning during our worship. God be praised for caring about us to make a change in us. We turn our attention to the invocation on page 3 of our worship bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His.
We are His people, the sheep of His pasture.
Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise.
Give thanks to Him and praise His name.
For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Teach me, O Lord, to follow Your decrees, then I will keep them to the end.
Give me understanding, and I will keep Your law and obey it with all my heart.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs.
Thank you. Please stand. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. Jesus has said, as recorded in Matthew 22,
"Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind.
This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it.
Love your neighbor as yourself."
But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me, according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. O God, by the humiliation of your Son, you lifted up this fallen world from the despair of death. By his resurrection to life, grant your faithful people gladness of heart and the hope of eternal joys.
Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. On this Sunday of Easter, a reading from Holy Scripture from the book of Acts. Repentance is still called for, still today, as we continue to live amongst a corrupt generation. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Join in singing the psalm, Psalm 130.
Thank you.
What Jesus had to endure was predicted and recorded down, confirming the fact that our faith and our hope in Him is definitely something real and solid. A reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Peter 1. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God, the word of the Lord. Please stand for our gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 24th chapter, Perception and Reality. Let us make sure that we do not get caught up in our perceptions, that we miss the reality. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached a village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
As we continue with our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace, may such remain yours in great abundance. And this is possible from God our Father through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning. We turn back to Acts chapter 2. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who thankfully together with his Father had mercy on us and saw us as people to invest in, not because of our worthiness, but because of his mercy. Change and decay. All around we see. And if something doesn't change, well, we will see more change and not for the better. And with that, more decay. If we are the premise that all change is bad, this would include the change God has made in you. And would you thus say that that was a bad and not a welcome change? Change in and of itself is not the enemy. It's what those changes might lead to, or what is behind those changes that needs to be taken into account on the subject matter of change. You know, some people for their line of work need to make changes. It's important for them to not get caught up in a rut or a routine, especially as they're going to work and then back from work. Yeah, I mean, routines are good and helpful, but sometimes routines can get us so locked in that we miss what is happening during that routine. That someone might be following them to and from work, picking up their habits, and doing so for evil intent. We would like to think that people aren't that way, but we know better, because we live in a realistic world where there is sin and decay. But living in this realistic world, it's not just full of sin and decay, it's also full of mercy and hope. Well, even within the church, change is not an automatic evil. I mean, again, routines are good, and yet routines can lead into ruts, and ruts then can lead into a going through the motions when it comes to our faith. Thankfully, God is into change, a change which involves us. I mean, we were headed down a one-way street, and that one-way street was going straight to hell. And so God caused a change to take place. He turned us around so that we're no longer going down that path to hell, but rather we're on the road to heaven. And we are encouraged throughout the Scriptures time and time again by the Lord God, who made that change in us and made that change possible, to continue on the road of that change he has made possible. And that's really the key when it comes to change, especially this important change for this life and the next. It's a change that has been led by God to be made. And when it comes then to the subject matter of repentance and this change that God has made in us and for us, we are encouraged to continually make a life-changing move, one that keeps us even closer to God. And we are equipped by God then to make that happen. I mean, again, change is necessary. This kind of change in us, in our heart, It was necessary at that first audience that the Apostle Peter was talking to fellow Israelites, Jews. They needed to be cut to the heart to recognize the need for a change in direction. Those people, many of them, had been coerced by the religious leaders of their day to see Jesus as the enemy and not the Savior, to ignore all that the prophets had said about Jesus being the Messiah, to ignore all the miracles that gave proof that Jesus was the Messiah, to ignore all the words that Jesus said, giving proof again that he was and is the Messiah. They convinced the people to shout, "Crucify him." And so Peter reminded the crowd, that was you who shouted those words. Don't look at your neighbor, look at yourself. Yeah, your neighbor was there too, but so were you. And why did Jesus have to come in the first place to be your Savior? Because of your sinfulness. Thankfully, the Holy Spirit had the message of the law, which was meant to cut them to heart, work. And so they respond, "Brothers, what should we do? We recognize we have sinned and we cannot take it back," because those words came out and Jesus was put to death. Now what? But it wasn't just them who shouted those words, "Crucify him," even though we weren't there physically. How many of us could say we would not have been swept up with the crowd and joined in those chants of "crucify him"? So what? He healed my sister from her fever. I'm ready to get rid of him now. Because these religious leaders said Jesus needs to get out of the way. How often do people put more stock in the words of human beings than in the word of God himself? And again, it's not just as if we were there. It was our sinfulness too that was there, for why Jesus had to come in the first place to be our Messiah, our Savior. And before true healing can take place in the heart, what needs to happen? We need to be cut to the heart. And so the Holy Spirit, thankfully, has worked in us the law of God. We confess our sins, led by the Spirit to do so. Because in and of ourselves, we don't want to confess or admit to sin. But we see evidence of the Holy Spirit working in us when he leads us to that confession. And we say with the people then, "What should we do?" We deceive ourselves when we try to cover up our sin. Then the truth is not in us. But thanks be to God, he has revealed the truth to us, and he has put it into our hearts and in our minds so that we do not lie about our sins, but rather be open about the fact that we are sinful and in need of a Savior. And thus, true healing takes place. That healing doesn't come from what we bring to the table. It all comes from God alone. It's given to us through his Son, our Savior Jesus, through what he was willing to do for us, to die an innocent death, to take upon himself all the weight of our sins. So that we would not have to endure that weight for eternity. "It is finished," he cried. Healing is real. Healing can take place in the heart. And there are witnesses. I mean, God stalled to it, not only to send his Son to be our Savior, but also to have witnesses to verify the fact that this was the Son of God, and what he did actually did happen. People saw him dead on the cross. And they could tickle him and there would be no response. He was dead. They saw him placed in the tomb. But then they also saw him outside the tomb, very much alive. God is good, isn't he? To make sure that we have all the proof we need to confirm that indeed the healing is there in our heart as he has promised by the grace of God and the working of the Holy Spirit, all rooted in the saving work of Jesus Christ. How important, again, each and every day is the cross and the empty tomb. Because each and every day we really need to be cut to the heart. Because each and every day we sin. And if left unchecked, that sin will have its way with us. And so he reminds us to confess our sins daily. And then to be assured daily of his mercy and the forgiveness rooted in Jesus. So that again, true healing can take place for that day and moving forward. Recognizing the fact that Jesus, now in heaven, continues to intercede for us. Reminding his heavenly Father what he has done for us each and every time we sin in our thoughts and in words and our deeds. And he continues to rule over all things for our good. He is very aware of all the change and the decay that is taking place around us, not for our good, but he can use it for good, to keep us awake and alert to what is happening, to allow people to fall to the pit, so to speak, because until they're cut to the heart and see their need, they will not confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Every day, you and I are encouraged to make life changing moves. Starting with repentance, acknowledging our sinfulness, followed by trusting in Jesus as our Savior through whom we have forgiveness, and showing that we believe that by not staying in the sinful lifestyle that we were living, but jumping out of that. A 180 change. All possible by God. And he equips us to make that change daily. For he has called us personally through his gospel. The gospel in word and sacrament. I mean, again, human beings, do we take the word of human beings or the word of God when it comes to baptism? God says, this baptism now saves you. Well, let me think about that, God. I'm going to challenge you on that. Don't stand next to that person. But how many of us do? Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. I've given you the way to do that, by baptizing and teaching them. Well, the teaching part. Okay, God, I got you on that one. How often do we human beings challenge God, thinking that we're in the right? Challenge God, you lose. God has equipped us with the gospel in word and sacrament to bring people into his family and to keep them into his family. And so babies, even though they cannot confess faith, he says they too can believe and they do need a Savior. Who were we to rob them of their Savior? And the assurance of baptism gives, not just for that child, but for the family as well. And then we have the opportunity to raise that child up in the faith that they have been baptized in, into this relationship. Yes, the parents bring the child to baptism, but again, it's God who makes the change. And Lord willing, that faith that they have been baptized in will become their very own, so to speak, as they grow up. That's part of confirmation. Testifying to the fact that this is not just my parents bringing me to church anymore. I want to come to church because I recognize my Savior Jesus and what he has done for me and what he has continued to do for me. The Holy Spirit is active in bringing people to faith, cutting us to the heart, giving us the healing gospel, and causing that faith to grow. and to be evident in different ways through each one of us. He was active then. He is active today. He was active in bringing people to faith, even though they did not recognize the role of the Spirit clearly. Jesus promised them, you are not alone. That Spirit that is working in you, it'll become even more evident that He is working in you, and same with us still today. How important it is then for us to stay connected to the means of grace, the means that the Holy Spirit uses to not only connect us, but keep us connected. Remember that analogy of the train on the track, especially that steam engine, right? That's us. We're dead on the track, going nowhere. But God fills us up with His water tower, which is filled with the forgiveness and new life and eternal life. And through that pipeline, the means of grace fills us up so that we can get going down the track. And then He has water towers placed throughout the line of that track to keep filling us up. Because if we don't fill up, we stop. And if we're on a hill and we stop, and the hill's going up, we don't stand still. Jesus says, either you're with me or you're against me. There's no middle ground. God has equipped us to continually fill up on Him. And then He gives us some solid encouragements through Peter then and now. He reminds us to be vigilant because they were living and we are still living amongst the people who are corrupt. And so the dangers to our faith are always lurking and can set in us as well. Apathy doesn't take long for that to set in and become evident and to take over. Apathy sets in as warnings are ignored. It's kind of like you see signs going into the beach, caution, sharks or have been sighted. And you go in and you get bit. God, why did you let me get bit? Did I tell you to go and swim amongst the sharks? No, I warned you about the sharks. And yet how many people ignore the warnings that God puts before us in the Holy Scriptures and we swim amongst the sharks and we get bit? Thankfully, there's an opportunity for healing from that bite. But for some, it's fatal. We have an opportunity to still provide healing to those who are alive, even though they have left us. Because once they're gone, the healing opportunity is gone. So there's urgency in that encouragement. While at the same time, he encourages us to remain hope-filled because His Word still works. Even though mainline churches, in a sense, are losing in attendance, the overall church is growing as promised throughout the world. As long as His Word endures and this world endures, there will be Christians and opportunities to confess Christ. Praise the Lord for that. He predicted that apathy would take place and there would be judgment and a result of that apathy. And so in spite of all that, He says, I need you to be my witnesses. I've equipped you to be my witnesses. And take different approaches to do that because not everybody listens to the Word the same way. And so be creative in your approaches. Letting your light shine wherever situation you may find yourself in. You may even have to risk a friendship. But hopefully you keep that friendship for heaven. We get it. God gets it. Change is not easy. Some changes are more difficult than others. Let us be thankful, though, that a very important change has taken place in us. A change that we were not open to. But by the grace of God, it has taken root in us. God then continue to help us live our lives in light of this change that He has made possible in our hearts and in our minds. Keeping in mind that not all change is bad. Look in the mirror. Amen. Please stand.
The peace of God which transcends all understanding.
We are to keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen. We join in a confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed, as it begins on page 9.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. We pray. Lord, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us each day.
We are not worthy of all the mercies you show us.
You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature.
We thank you.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick, cheer those who are sad, calm those who are distressed, and comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant your blessings to every nation on earth, where there are wars, may there be peace, where there is hatred, let it be healed, where there is poverty,
Lord of glory, you have bought us with your lifeblood as the price, never grudging for the lost ones that tremendous sacrifice. Give us faith to trust you boldly, hope to stay our souls on you, but O best of all your graces, with your love our love renew. Birthdays are another reminder of your grace, O Lord, as you are the giver of life, physical and spiritual. For those among us privileged to celebrate another year of grace, continue to open their eyes to the blessings you have given and will put into their life, that they may reflect glory and praise back to you. Thank you, Lord, for granting Rod Gunter a successful surgery this past week. Continue to bless his recovery. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
Hear ourselves to you, that we may serve you in whatever way is pleasing to your Son. Amen.
We also pray,
our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You find the next hymn on page 12.
Thank you.
We pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Again, thank you for filling out the blue Connect cards. I appreciate that. And taking the opportunity to talk to one another, especially, again, if you don't know somebody or recognize someone, you haven't seen them in a while, just taking the opportunity to say hi and get reconnected or connected. Bible study, Augsburg Confession, we're looking at that here in the church proper. Sunday school will be in the library today. We won't be starting out in the chapel. It's not available at this time, but so meet in the library and either enter through the office door or maybe somebody will go in and open the door in the library to the outside and you can use that. So there you go for Sunday school. Teens are up in the teen room, the gathering space. Men's conference is coming up this Saturday, Lord willing, at 10 o'clock. If you signed up already, great. If there's still time to sign up, and if you don't sign up, still come. Just the sign-up gives us a gauge of how many to expect, but the more the merrier. Again, see the weekly news for details. We welcome an excellent speaker to help us grow in our faith and living that faith. Old SAC tour for one of our Connect events. Mark your calendars at this point in time. More details will come in next week's weekly news. But for now, Saturday, May 13th. In the afternoon, we'll get together, whoever wants to, and we'll do the Old Sac Underground Tour. Some people, I heard, have lived in Sacramento their entire life and have not done that. Whoa, can't wait. After that, then, we'll also get together, for those who can stay, for a little hanger out in Old Sac and have supper together. At this point in time, we will see the work that we support together with our brothers and sisters throughout the country with this edition of the Wells Connection.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. I'm here in Nairobi, Kenya, where I've been invited to attend the convention of the synod called the Lutheran Congregations in Mission for Christ. It's a relatively new church body, one that we just declared fellowship with 2 years ago. Here in Africa and around the world, Wells partners with churches to carry out the mission that God has given us. Sometimes those churches are brand new. Sometimes they are missions that our synod started years ago and have now become independent.
Sunday morning in Nairobi means off to church for many Kenyans, including Pastor Mark Anariko Onunda. He's the presiding bishop, or head, of the Lutheran Congregations in Mission for Christ, Kenya, or LCMC.
The ministry is going great because at least we are seeing from time to time God giving us an opportunity of opening new churches, and that is the greatest thing we can be proud of, what God has done to us.
But it wasn't always smooth sailing for the LCMC. About a decade ago, this church body was formed after breaking off from a different Lutheran church body in Kenya because of corruption within church leadership. So, Pastor Onunda and a group of others stood firm in their beliefs and formed their own church completely from scratch. They went from having church buildings to worshiping under a tree. Pastors went from having salaries and transportation to having nothing. Pastor Onunda's family was even ostracized, and personal attacks were made against him.
It was the most difficult time I've ever gone through. One, I was called names. Then later, we were termed that we were devil worshippers. All those sorts of names we were called. But God is good that we were able to persevere and move on up to where we are today.
Today, the LCMC has grown by the grace of God. New church buildings are being built, and more people are hearing the gospel. But Pastor Onunda and his church body were still praying for fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to share this journey. So, he reached out to an American confessional Lutheran church body, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod.
The request came through the Wells generic website. They sent it over to the World Missions Office. And then I immediately, seeing what was behind it, what they were talking about, sent it to our teammates here in Africa.
Good to see you. How are you?
Good.
This type of request is not uncommon for Wells to receive. In fact, it happens on a weekly basis.
So one of the things we'll talk about is that as we join to work with other churches, the most important thing is the Bible. And we have to be clear that we are unified on those teachings.
Having a partnership like this means that the gospel can travel quicker. For Wells to send missionaries into a completely foreign land, it would take years to fully learn the language, the culture, and the people. However, a trained local pastor understands all of that.
I think the focus of our Wells mission work has really started to embrace this additional aspect to our work. We still want to send missionaries out where they're doing some of that very raw evangelism work. They're in a community where there are no Christians or very few, and they begin to reach out with the gospel. But then there's another aspect when there are churches that are mature, that they have their own workers, and they can run so much quicker than we can with the gospel.
Such as here in Kenya. And although they do have their own well-trained called workers, they recognize that they need more.
So our partnership, really their request to us, has been to train pastors. And so that's what we're zeroed in on. This church body, you know, seems very well organized to the point that they've got a system in place where they're able to build their own churches.
Because without the workers, spreading the gospel cannot be effective if we don't have workers on the field, especially when it comes to church planting, pastoral care. We really need them.
And it's not just here in Africa. Connections with existing churches are being made in Asia and Europe as well.
The opportunities are tremendous. The number of them, the size of them, the scope of them, I know a lot of this happens out of sight, and that can also mean that they're out of the minds of our people in Wells. And I just pray we never let that happen, that the Lord continue to use us.
Wells officially declare fellowship with the Lutheran congregations in Mission for Christ Kenya, and be it finally resolved that we see that we ask God to give joy and blessing to both our church bodies.
Walking alongside brothers and sisters in Christ can be that arm around someone else's shoulder saying, "We're in this together." Something that really hits home for Pastor Onunda.
We thank God for this blessed fellowship that He has given us.
Those are some of the moments where you feel you get yourself tears getting out of your eyes. Because, you know, after being called all these names, after being seen as a bad element, after being ridiculed here and there, and then all of a sudden one day you get the sun rising again.
Through these relationships with our brothers and sisters around the world, we're able to partner together to take the message of Jesus to more people than we possibly could alone. At wells.net, you can learn more about these mission efforts and the people that are served with the gospel.